Amen. Well, thank you, worship team, and thank you, Melinda, for sharing that. And to God be the glory. For those of you who don't know Melinda, Melinda's been a part of our worship team for years here at Trinity. She and her husband James have been a part of the church for years. And it's been amazing to watch them walk faithfully through that cancer journey and still taking steps. But praise God that he's restored her health. Welcome to all of you. If you don't know me, my name is Marcus. I'm the senior pastor here, and we're glad that you're here worshiping with us this morning. We actually have some special guests with us here this morning. One of our mission partners, you already heard us mention Mark and Denise Lewis, who work with Reach Global Crisis Response. It's the warehouse right across the parking lot. This is a ministry that was started right after Hurricane Katrina. To bring the hope of the gospel into hurting people's lives, especially those who are struggling with natural disasters and things like that. And so this week, Reach Global Crisis Response has their annual meetings here at the church. They're going to be using our buildings, doing a lot of meals. We actually have a meal out at my house, I think, tomorrow night with like 80 people. So we'll see how that goes. Hopefully the weather cooperates. But what I want to do is actually, if you're with Reach Global Crisis Response, please stand up. We'd like to welcome you and say thank you for what you're doing to serve. All right, you can be seated. Looks like only 20 people coming to dinner, so I think a lot of them are coming into town later today, but seriously, glad you all are here, and look forward to this week together with you. If I had to choose one word to sum up this week, it wouldn't be It'd be celebration, okay? You know, this morning we are celebrating, and really, celebration is another word for worship. But this whole week has been a week of celebration. You know, we had a couple of holidays, right? We had Valentine's Day on Wednesday. The day before that was Tuesday, Mardi Gras, which is a big deal around here. And then Sunday, let's talk about Sunday. What happened on Sunday? You know what happened Sunday? I'll tell you what happened on Sunday. Trinity Church had its first ever rookie lunch, okay? It was awesome. It was awesome. So again, last week we actually did have an awesome celebration out in the new space. Anyone who is new over the last 2 years, we had probably about 50 or 60 people show up, plus some volunteers. We probably had 70 or 80 people in there. It was an awesome lunch, good time to get together and kind of just share what God's doing here at Trinity with some of the newer folks. And we held it on Super Bowl Sunday, called it our game day gathering for rookies. And y'all, we've got some great rookies here. And so thank you to you rookies for coming to that, and also for what so many of you are already doing to serve here in the church. So we're grateful for the people that God has brought into this church. There's something else we have to celebrate though, okay? And I have some good news for you. All right. So last year we saw God provide in a bunch of different ways. We saw, like I said, these rookies, all these new faces that God's brought into our church family. We also saw God provide some amazing ministry opportunities through our mission partners, through our children's ministry, youth ministry. But we also saw God provide financially. And so I know we talked about this at the end of the year, and some of you have been asking, well, how did the year end? I want to spend just a second talking about this and talk to you about here is what happened. Okay, so what happened is we had a good year. So our expenses were $623 and our income was $652. That means that God gave us a surplus, y'all. And again, we're giving God all the glory here, and we want to celebrate this, because if you're new around here, it's been a number of years since we've had a year like that. And so just grateful that to see God providing through the generosity of his people, and just seeing as a pastor the power of shared generosity, right? There's no one person in this church who floats the boat. It's everyone working together, and it's been amazing to see that over the last couple years. I want to tell you with that surplus, I want to tell you how we're going to celebrate with that surplus. We had told you that 10% of any of that surplus is going to go to one of our mission partners, and that is Mercy Hill Church. It's a church plant in Cincinnati, Ohio. It's a unique church plant, though, because of this. The two of the leaders in that church are actually guys who grew up here at Trinity. Timmy Lopez. Timmy and Lindsay are some of our supported partners. And then Ernie Benoit III is the lead pastor there. And so we've got two guys who are on the pastoral staff there. They've been planning this church for a couple years. They've seen just dozens of college kids come to know Christ. And it's been amazing to watch this and hear the stories. And they actually closed on a building, I think, this week. And so we're grateful to be able to help them with their building project and to see that church establish itself and see God to continue to change lives. So that's the 10% of that's going to do that. But there's another thing I'm really excited about. For about the last 2 years, we've really seen our youth ministry growing and expanding. And so we, 2 years ago, hired Avery Mentheim to be our part-time youth director. And so he's done an awesome job, and we've really enjoyed seeing that ministry grow. And so the elders last year said, well, what will we do if we have a surplus? What's our number one priority? And I think unanimously across the board it was, we would really like to have Avery working here full time. And so we looked at how much money we needed, and $29,000 came in. We're like, well, that's not quite it. But then we did some math and realized we can't hire him January 1st, but we can hire him April 1st. All right. So Avery's going to be our full-time youth director starting April 1st. There's a lot of behind the scenes stuff with that, but it was amazing to watch just the exact amount of money that came in that we needed. And it was exactly the right time frame for Avery as well. And we really just feel like this is the direction God's been leading us one step at a time. So grateful to God for that. And we're celebrating that big time here this month. Also, this morning, we're celebrating Access. I want to spend a few minutes talking about this. If you're new and you walked in here and you saw some of those Access banners, you saw the caution tape that had the whole thing blocked off on the side, we're right in the middle of this major kind of renovation project here at Trinity. And so this morning, I want to celebrate what God's already done. Last Sunday, we got to have our first gathering over there, and we roped it off again one more time because we still haven't quite passed the final inspection, so we're waiting to really use it. But just want to celebrate what's already been completed. Number one is a new nursery. Okay, that was the first thing that happened. We have a brand new nursery in the building next door in the Family Discipleship Center. One secure location for all of our kids. We have the hospitality space out there. You get to see it. You're going to get to use it in just a couple weeks. The furniture is going to come in soon. Can't wait to see that. The restrooms in this building have been remodeled, and let's just say that was much needed. There's also going to be a family seating area out there. We're going to have a mother's room for any mothers who are nursing or bottle feeding. And then also, we have a family, our family restroom. So we're really just celebrating this building, and what God's providing here through that building is a tool for this church. You know, the church is God's people, but we're grateful that he's given us this building and this campus as a tool. So I found out this week, again, how important tools are, okay? So this week, we did a little concrete demo at my house, and that is not me. And no, I couldn't hit a square hole with a sledgehammer. I don't know how that guy did that. But if you're going to bust up some concrete, which is what we had to do, you have to have the right tools. And I will tell you, I don't think a sledgehammer is the right tool, not for me at least. I did not use this tool. It would work, but thankfully, I had a friend who borrowed me one of these things, all right, a concrete saw. And so having that tool made the job go so quick. I didn't break my back, and I was so grateful to my friend who let me borrow it. So here's the thing. We really believe that the building that God's given us is a tool, and we want this tool to work properly. And that's really the reason we're going to all this trouble, all the inconvenience, and spending all the price that it takes to do this. And we think that God's going to give us a powerful tool to accomplish our mission here at the church. And really, you'll see a renewed focus on young families, which I know in years past that was there. And we're really trying to bring that back with the features and things that we're including in this building, because we know the future of any church is the young families and those that God raises up here to be the next generation of leaders, missionaries, and just servants in the marketplace as well. So still to come, what you're going to see in the next couple months, the time frame is not completely nailed down yet, but the outdoor space is going to be there. We're going to have a covered walkway between the two buildings, which is going to be amazing when it rains. And then playgrounds will also be a welcome addition. It's been several years since we've had a playground here. In fact, I think when I came here, I had a lot of kids who could play on the playground that we didn't have. And now I've only got probably one left who's still going to use this playground. But can't wait to see it happen, and looking forward to what God's doing there. So Like I said, this whole thing is a tool for it. And what we're doing in the month of February, this marks the 2-year anniversary of when we kind of launched this whole thing. And so we're bringing it, this topic back up because we have, what you all did 2 years ago was make a 3-year pledge. And many of you did this. You said over the next 3 years, I'm going to sacrifice and give towards this, this needed update. And here we are 2 years into that with 1 year left. And so I just wanted to show you a little financial update of that. You actually have that in your bulletin. But just looking at what happened here, you'll see the overall price of the project is right around $1.35 million. Okay? So when we started this project 3 years ago, that's what we thought the price would be. Well, you know how much prices have changed in the last 3 years. And so when we actually got an estimate, it was over $2 million. So we had a bunch of people who creatively adjusted the plan, and you see the results out there, got it back down to this budget. It's kind of bounced around a little bit, but we really think it's going to end right between $1.3 and $1.4 million. So that's amazing, y'all. That's a miracle that we're right on target or very close to the original target that was set a few years ago. 2 years ago, when we all made pledges, $816,000 was pledged. And so there's obviously a gap there, so we plan to finance some of that. And then as of today, what we've received so far is $661,000. And so that's basically 81% of the pledges that are supposed to come in. However, some of that money was actually not pledged. It's just money that people gave without making pledges. But either way, that's what we've received so far. And God is just providing in an amazing way, y'all. When we started this, we didn't know where it was going to go. But this is amazing what's happening. You know, we would love to finish this whole project financially fully funded and finance, or at least finance as little as possible. That's our goal, to have a healthy picture. And so part of that, the next step in that process is to do what we're calling next Sunday, a commitment Sunday or a recommitment Sunday. Okay, so we already can see the benefits of what God's doing here. And our leadership said, make sure you announce this when all the Reach Global folks are in town so we get more people to pledge. All right. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. All right, if y'all are guests here, seriously, this is not for you. We'd love for you to hear what's going on. But don't feel any obligation to do this. This is a church family thing, an opportunity that we're putting in front of our church family. And y'all, this is a major moment in the life of our church, I believe. And so, like I said, next Sunday is going to be an important step, a commitment Sunday or a recommitment Sunday. And I want to tell you how it's going to work. Everyone next Sunday is going to have a chance to have one of these commitment cards. If you're watching online, this is actually available online as well. And if you're not going to be here next Sunday, there's some cards, I believe, on the back table you can pick up. So this is the front of the card. Here's the back of the card. And really what we're going to do is ask every person to pray about this week leading up to next Sunday, what God's calling you to commit. If you're a new member or somebody who's come around in the last 2 years and God's leading you to do this, make a new commitment. If you've already made a commitment, affirm that commitment to carry out what God's called you to do. Or if God somehow gifted you and allowed you to increase it, you're welcome to do that as well. And so here's how it's going to work next Sunday. You'll have a chance to fill that out at some point during the worship service. We're not going to pass an offering plate around. We believe this is between you and God. But on your way out, we'll have a box in the back that you can drop it in. Or like I said, if you don't want to fill out the paper one, you can fill it out online. But really, the reason I'm talking about this in a worship service is because all giving is an act of worship, okay? Sacrificing your first and your best for God and His kingdom is an act of worship, and we want to remember that. And our family has prayed through this, and it's been a challenge, but we're excited to see what God does, again, with combined generosity. You know, this whole project is based on and is summed up by this verse, and that is Romans 5, verse 2, which says this: through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. See, that's the heart of Trinity Church. I think it's been the heart of Trinity Church ever since this church was planted, and that is to give people access to the grace of God. Because when people have access to the grace of God, their lives change. And this room is full of people whose lives have changed because they met Christ. And we're grateful that God's given us a place to worship Him. And so it's really an exciting thing to think about as we commit this next week. Though I want to show you one last picture. Here's a picture of what that covered walkway is going to look like. You can see the playgrounds on the side there where kids are going to be playing. But I just want you to picture all the people that are going to walk up and down that sidewalk, right? Every week, all our kids are going to go over there for kids ministry. We're going to have other adult things over in that building. A lot of people are going to walk down that sidewalk in the years to come. That sidewalk literally gives access from one building to another. It connects the two buildings. But really what we think this whole project is going to do is give people not just access to the other building or access to a nice place, but connect people to each other and, most importantly, connect people to God. And that's what we're trying to do throughout this whole thing, one step at a time as we walk down that walkway of faith. And so God's asking us, what I want to do is just ask you to pray about how God is leading you to give generously, give cheerfully, or give sacrificially. And like I said, that's 100% between you and God. There's not pressure. It's just an opportunity that we want to put in front of our church family. So there you go. We're excited about it. We haven't given an update in quite a while, but glad you all can be a part of this. And I just want to take a moment to pray, celebrate what God's already done, and how he's going to use this all in the future. So if you will, bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the chance to worship you, to celebrate your goodness and your faithfulness. God, I thank you for what you provided last year financially, and Lord, what that's going to allow us to do ministry-wise in the year to come and in the years ahead, God. I pray also, Lord, that you would, Lord, give us wisdom as we continue on this access journey, Lord. Help us never to forget that our goal is to give people access to your gospel. And Father, I pray that you'd provide all that we need above what we could imagine, God. And I pray that you would use every single penny of every gift, God, to build your kingdom. It's in the name of your precious Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right. So this morning we're going to be back in 1 Corinthians, and this kind of goes along with the whole theme. Last week we talked about how Paul was thankful. This morning here we are, thankful for all that God's provided. And we're going to continue that theme this morning, looking at how Paul says he is grateful to God. I don't know how many of you, when you meet somebody, or say you go to work in the morning, or you go to school, usually you kind of say something like, hey, how are you doing? Right? These common everyday greetings. How you doing? How have you been? Sometimes people say good morning or good to see you, right? And a lot of times those things kind of just go in and out of our ears, right? You don't even really think about it. In fact, usually when somebody says, how are you doing? What's your answer? Fine. So you put about as much effort into your answer as they put into theirs, right? These greetings just go straight over our heads. But here's the thing. We don't pay much attention to those greetings, and yet what we see here in 1 Corinthians in the first 9 verses is Paul's greeting to one of his, this is actually his longest letter that he writes. It's tempting when you open up one of Paul's letters just to breeze over his greeting and almost ignore it and say, fine, and keep moving and not even pay attention to it. But especially in this book, Paul, I would say, his greeting lays down a foundation. It's like he's pouring concrete for the rest of this book, saying, I'm going to form your thinking on a few key issues so that as I get into them, you'll appreciate them even more. And so that's why we don't want to just breeze over it this morning. We want to actually dig down and look a little bit at what Paul is actually giving thanks for. So actually last week, that's what we talked about. We said that Paul was giving thanks to God always for people in a place with grace and truth. All right. That's what that whole greeting is kind of summed up. That's what he's giving thanks for. He says, I give thanks always for you. He's talking about how he's grateful for believers. Y'all, when we met with the rookies the other day, it reminded me again of how grateful I am for our church family, just the believers that God has brought here. But the people in a place, we showed you this picture. This is the city of Corinth in Greece. It's still there. That's an image from Google Maps. The place is Corinth, and the book, Corinthians, is named after the people in this place, the Corinthians. And if you go there, you can actually still see the ruins. And Paul says, I am grateful for the people. Now when we look back, he was grateful for the people who once lived there. But we're going to see actually in verse 4, he says, and I'm also grateful for those who in every place call upon our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. So what's interesting is when Paul gave thanks 2,000 years ago, he was not only giving thanks for the people in that place, he was giving thanks for the people in this place. If you've called on the name of the Lord, then he was thankful for you as well. But this morning, we're not going to talk about what he's grateful for as much. We're going to talk about the person he is grateful to. And Paul makes it very clear in these first few verses that he is grateful to God. He's grateful to God. And so what I want us to do this morning is read through those first 9 verses again. And I would just encourage you, don't overlook this greeting or just kind of treat it as if it doesn't matter. Because there's so much truth that Paul is giving us here as a foundation. So follow along. If you've got a Bible, the verses will be on the screen. Or if you've got it on your device, great. Would love for you to hear God's word with us this morning. Here it is, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is at Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and in all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So this is the word of the Lord for us this morning, given through his servant Paul, and we can see it now in our English language. Key verse in there is verse 4. This is kind of what we're focusing on. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus. If you read any of Paul's letters, you'll notice that almost all of them start off with this. Paul gives thanks. Right? He's a thankful guy. In fact, he can't even start a letter off without saying, God, I'm thankful. I'm thankful to you. And so there's kind of a pattern. I wanted to show you this real briefly, a pattern that all his thanksgivings follow. First of all, it says, I give thanks. And he says, usually, I always give thanks. I think there's many passages throughout Paul which say, give thanks in all things. And he's big about giving thanks always. Always giving thanks to God. All right, we're going to focus on that today. And then as we saw last week, he gives thanks for certain people for certain reasons. Okay, and some of those things he unpacks in there as well. But today we're looking at the fact that he gives thanks to God always because I'm going to show you 3 reasons this morning out of this text why Paul is continually giving thanks to God. And there's probably more, but these are the 3 that I pulled out of this text for this week. First reason is this. Paul says that God is our Father. Okay? That's the first reason we're going to give thanks to God, because he is our Father. See that in verse 3. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so Paul is saying any good thing you get that we're celebrating, anything that we're celebrating here this morning, is from God our Father. In fact, throughout these 9 verses, you'll notice a lot of personal language, personal pronouns, right? In verse 2, he talks about our Lord Jesus Christ. He talks about our Father in verse 3. He talks about my God in verse 4. And in verse 9, the last verse, he talks about our Lord. See, it could be easy for Paul, when he was writing this, just to talk about the God and Father, or the Lord Jesus Christ, or the God that I serve. But God inspired him to use those personal pronouns and to say that this is my God. This is my Lord. This is our Savior. This is our Father. Why does Paul use relationship like this? Why does God want to be known as a Father? And I would say it's because of this. God wants us to know that he desires a relationship with us. He wants to know you as his child. In fact, Scripture, the New Testament, talks a lot about how if you know Christ, God has adopted you into his family as his child. If you have faith in Jesus Christ, you are adopted into God's family and God is your heavenly Father. This is a big point in Scripture. Actually, there's a whole study you could do on the idea of God being called Father. But the big bottom line is this: God wants to have a relationship with you. That relationship can't happen on your own. Because you see, humans are sinful, and God can't be around sin. He's perfect, and His perfection would consume you. But God says, I want to be a father to you. And so He makes that possible through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So He is our Father. That's the reason Paul gives thanks. That's the first reason. See, when Jesus was on earth, He actually emphasized the same thing. He wanted His disciples to remember that God was their Father. And the one that pops into my head the most readily is from Matthew chapter 6. When Jesus taught His disciples to pray, this is the Lord's Prayer. All of us have probably said these words. Jesus said, pray then like this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, when Jesus taught His disciples to pray, when He teaches you to pray, He says this is how you should do it. Start off with the words, Our Father. Your personal Father, the one who loves you enough to do whatever it takes to adopt you as His child. See, some in this room probably struggle with that idea a little bit, thinking of God as a father. I think there's probably two reasons why all of us may struggle with this. Number one is because you had a father who somehow failed. In fact, some of you had fathers who were absent, or who abused you, you know, and their failures were great, visible, painful. Some of us, though, every one of us who had a father had a failed father. But here's the other thing. I think another reason we struggle to understand this concept of God as our Father, I'm speaking personally on this, is because I'm a father, right? And I know how failed I am as a father. I can't even imagine what a perfect father looks like. Right? Our view on earth is so corrupted by what we see. But to both of those things, I would say this, is that God is a father unlike any other father you could even imagine. Picture the most awesome father, the most amazing dad here on earth, the one who you think gets it all right. And God is infinitely better than that in His love for His children. God is a father like no other. He is full of grace and love. So here's a question for you this morning. When you think about Paul giving thanks always to God, here's my question. Do you talk with your Father every day? Do you speak with the Father who's done, He moved heaven and earth to save you and make you His child? He loves to talk with you. I still remember, so my dad died when I just graduated college. This was back in 2004. And I remember prior to him getting sick with cancer, we would probably talk once a week. And then when he had cancer, we probably talked more often. I went home from college to visit him all the time. But there came that day when I couldn't talk to him anymore. And that was difficult. But it really hit home, right? Like, I think I even called his phone once and it went to voicemail. And you could hear his voice. Some of you have experienced that before. And you miss it when you can't do that. But when you think about your relationship with God the Father, He loves to speak with you every single day. He loves to hear your voice. He loves for you to hear His voice through His Word, through His relationship with you. See, God has a close relationship with His children. He loves to hear His children say thank you. Right? That's why Paul reiterates that over and over and over again. But give thanks always to your Father. I would encourage you to do it every day. Talk to Him multiple times a day. 1 Thessalonians, Paul says, pray without ceasing. And I think a huge part of that is giving thanks. So give thanks to God always because He is our Father. The second reason that we give thanks to God that we see here in this passage, and this comes up several times in the passage, is that He is full of grace. He is full of grace. Verse 3, it says, grace to you and peace. Paul starts off most of his letter saying that grace and peace to you, or basically that same greeting. We talked about that last week. And in verse 4, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus. I give thanks to God always because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus. See, Paul gives thanks always because he never forgets that God is a God who's full of grace. What is grace? This is a word that we come back to a lot in churches. See, we want this church to be full of God's grace. And grace, really, the actual word means gift. God has given us a gift. And here's the thing about this gift is it doesn't have any strings attached. Right? Some people will give you a gift and you know if you take it, there's going to be strings attached. You're going to have to do something in order to keep that gift. But grace, God's grace, is not like that. It's a free gift. God says, I will forgive your sins for free. You can't earn it. So how do I receive it if I can't pay for it? God says, all you have to do is have faith. And that means you have to do nothing. That means to stop trying. Having faith is to stop trying to earn your way into heaven. Ask in faith for God to forgive your sins so that you may have peace with God, and He will share His grace with you beyond what you can ever imagine. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, so that no one can boast. See, God is full of that kind of grace. Just the free grace that saves sinners. This is a teaching that comes from the Old Testament, actually. See, in Exodus 34, God introduces Himself to His people. And in fact, He says, I'm going to reveal Myself to you, Moses. And these are the words that God says when He says, I'm going to tell you who I am. He says, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty. Those are loaded words, y'all. And here's what the thing is. A lot of times when we read the Old Testament, we focus on that last part. We're like, well, the Old Testament's all about God's judgment, how God judged His people when they messed up. And there is plenty of judgment in the Old Testament because God is just. But look at how God introduces Himself. The very first words that He uses to describe Himself, He says, I'm a God who's merciful and gracious, a God who's merciful and full of grace, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and abounding in faithfulness. And I keep that steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. God kind of wants it to get this across to us, right? That He is here to forgive freely with mercy and grace. That's who He is. Paul gives thanks because God is full of grace. There's some verses in the New Testament I want to show you. I love these verses. They go right along with us from Titus chapter 2. The first verse is verse 11. It says this, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. All right, so when Jesus came, Paul says, it's the grace of God appeared in all its glory, and it brought salvation for all people. Appeared. I still remember, I think it was last year, Mac had a basketball, maybe it was 2 years ago. He was on a basketball team down Lee Road at the Lee Road Rec. And so we had this team, and our team wasn't the best team, but we were playing pretty good. Here's the thing. We had the best player in the whole league, and the whole rec league was on our team. So we didn't lose very many games. And I remember we actually made it to the championship game. So there we are in the championship game, and our best player didn't show up. So the first quarter went by, and we got down, let's say, 6-2. Second quarter went by, we were down like 17-4. And at halftime, the player showed up. He appeared, okay? The player appeared, and we won the game. destroyed the other team. All right. Mac was a champion. But here's the thing. With humans, on your own, you're losing the game. Scripture tells us that you're a sinner and there's nothing you can do to win the game. You can fight and claw and try to be good and try to pay money or try to ignore. God says there's nothing you can do to win this game. You're losing the game. You are dead in your trespasses and sins. And then the grace of God appears, bringing salvation for all people. See, when Jesus appeared and brought grace, that free forgiveness, him taking the penalty that you deserved, that's why he died on the cross, so that he could freely give you eternal life. It changed the game. See, Paul gives thanks because he's full of grace. Moving on to the next verse here in Titus 2. It says that grace is training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. Okay, so Paul lived during a time, and what we're going to see over the next weeks in Corinthians is he lived around people who were really lost and really broken. They were embracing worldly passions. They were embracing ungodliness. They were not self-controlled. They were not upright. But God says when grace comes, it changes the game. And it trains us to renounce those things. If any of you have ever had a personal trainer, you kind of have a love-hate relationship with him, right? A good personal trainer will push you to help you get healthier, but also not make you hate them so much you don't come back, right? Grace is different than that. But I would say this, that grace trains you in that God loves you and he accepts you just as you are. But he loves you too much to leave you that way. That's the teaching of Scripture. See, God loves you and accepts you just as you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. And that's why grace, once grace has saved you, grace trains you to leave all those things behind, those things that were killing you, those things that were destroying you, those things that can destroy your family. Leave that way behind. Let grace train you in the way of life, the way of God's character. Verse 13 and 14. This is what happens. Grace is training us as we are waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. You see, grace helps us as we wait. We're still living in a broken world. And as we wait, go back to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 8. It talks again about Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to our God because he is full of grace. We give thanks, we worship, because God is full of grace. Here's my question for you on this point. Do you think about God's grace every day? Do you think about this everyday thing every day? I'm a pastor, but I'll probably confess to you there's some days where I don't think about it. But here's the thing. It's the most important thing in the world. I think, how can you remind yourself of God's grace every day? I think by being in the Word, right? The message of Scripture is that we have a God who's full of grace, and he saves broken people. The Word speaks to you. Maybe music speaks to you. Maybe your daily devotions that you read should always point you back to God's grace. Because without grace, you're losing the game. And so remember that God has saved you through grace and then live in light of that grace. Grace changes everything. Another way to remind yourself of God's grace. Here at Trinity, we celebrate communion once a month. So it's not every day. But that's one of those things we do to remind us of God's grace. In fact, some church traditions call communion the Eucharist. And that word literally means the thanksgiving. So when we celebrate communion, we are giving thanks for the grace of God, reminding ourselves how much we need it. So we give thanks to God always because of His grace. And I would just challenge you and encourage you, somehow think about God's grace every day. It's the most important thing you have. The third reason we give thanks to God always is that He is faithful. He's reliable. He's dependable. He is the foundation on which you can build your life. Now, I talked about we're doing this concrete work at my house this week. Had to bust up the old concrete so we could put in some new concrete. You've seen this if you drive 190 every day. How they're building a foundation for that bridge, right? I can't believe how much concrete they're driving down into the ground, how much concrete they're going to pour. But I'm going to be really grateful for it once I start driving over that bridge. I want a solid foundation. And the word faithful really means that. It's reliable, dependable. God is faithful, and He'll never let you down. Verse 9, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. See, God calls us into His family. He invites us into His family. And Scripture teaches that God is faithful. There's a long list of verses we could look at. We're not going to this morning, but another one in 1 Corinthians that comes to mind. You may have heard of this in 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, God will never let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. God is faithful. When you are tempted, He will always provide a way out. 1 John 1:9, here's another one. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is faithful to forgive. Old Testament also mentions God's faithfulness. Lamentations 3, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. His faithfulness is unimaginable. He will never fail you. You know that hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. So many worship songs remind us of God's faithfulness. We sang one right before the sermon here. All my life You have been faithful. All my life You have been so, so good. God is faithful. Here in this passage, I just made a list of the things that I saw that God has been faithful to do right here in this passage. And the first one is to call you. He called Paul as an apostle. And then in verse 9, you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He invited you into His family, called you into His family. And He's faithful to keep you there. He's faithful to sanctify you, to make you holy, to give you grace and peace, verse 3, to give Jesus for you, verse 4. That's how the grace came about. To give spiritual gifts to you. This is a theme that comes out later in 1 Corinthians. He's faithful to give spiritual gifts. He's faithful, verse 8, to sustain you to the end. He is faithful to declare you guiltless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do y'all understand that? I could walk up to you and say, you're not guilty. Those words would mean nothing because I'm not the one who gets to decide. But God is faithful. And when He tells you, because of your faith in Jesus, that you are not guilty, He's faithful to keep those words on the day of Jesus Christ. Here's the question. Do you think about God's faithfulness every day? You know, that verse from Lamentations talks about how God's faithfulness is new every morning. That's supposed to teach us to realize that every morning, every single day, we need to remember how faithful God is. But it's easy to forget, isn't it? How easy it is to forget how faithful God is. You get distracted with the hardships of life, distracted with the good things of life, and you forget that God is your firm foundation. He is the one that will hold you up for the rest of your life and for eternity. I want to invite the worship team to come back up here. And as they do, like I said, these first 9 verses are really just, you could look at it and say, this is just a simple everyday greeting. It's just like all of Paul's other books, and we could just breeze over it. But I think what we see is that these simple truths set the tone, they lay the foundation for a life of faith. See, God is our Father. He is full of grace, and He's faithful to save us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what we celebrate. We celebrate that we have forgiveness through Christ. Will you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son and for the grace that you bring to us through him. God, thank you that you are faithful, that you're full of grace, and that you choose to be called our Father. It's in the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray.